Shockwave Radio.
Hello, everyone. It is time to be basic. Today, we are talking about the Enneagram right here on the Shockwave podcast. Hannah's favorite day of the whole year, favorite podcast. I'm John David. This is Hannah. And again, we are going to be basic and talk about the Enneagram. But we're going to try to be tasty as well, so don't skip ahead just yet.
I hated that adjective.
Tasty?
Yeah.
Oh, no. We'll be very tasteful. So yeah, just start us out, Hannah, about the Enneagram. Just for anyone that maybe has never heard of it, give us a broad overview.
It's basically a personality typing system, and the thing that I love about it, I feel like I got into it way later than everybody else, but now I feel so, like you said, basic, and I'm just obsessed with it. I think that I started getting into it because I couldn't figure out what type I was, so then I started reading a lot about it, and I'm one of those people that, like, once I get invested in something, I'm super invested.
Right.
But basically, it's 9 types. Most people probably have heard about it. If not, you should definitely learn about it because it's amazing. And it's just a 9-type personality assessment that has to do with basically, like, your nurture. So, like, what motivates you, what fears you have, different things like that. So I think that's why I like it, because it just kind of gets to, like, people's core personality.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people really like the Enneagram over other personality types like Myers-Briggs. Mm-hmm. What would you say is the main difference between – what sets the Enneagram apart between other personality tests?
Yeah, my freshman year was when, for me, I learned a lot about the Myers-Briggs when I came to Harding, and everyone was talking about it, and it was a really big deal. And then all of a sudden the Enneagram came up, and I was just like, oh, my gosh, do we really need another like, personality test thing? So I didn't really get into it. I never even took the test. Everyone's like, what number are you?
Yeah.
I had no idea. But the reason that I like the Enneagram better than Myers-Briggs and other tests and different things like that is because of the nurture aspect. Myers-Briggs is a lot with, like, nature. So it's, like, whether you're, you know, extroverted or introverted and different mm-hmm. things like that. But I like basically, like, what your experience, how your experiences have motivated you and molded you and created who you are and how that, like, affects the rest of your actions.
Mm-hmm. I also think it's simpler. Myers-Briggs is very confusing to me because it's just a bunch of letters and they're like one different letter is like it's
completely
yeah.
changes, yeah.
And I never remember what the letters stand for. And with the Enneagram, you have 9 numbers, and so yeah. you just like identify with one number.
And I mean, it can definitely get more complex, but I feel like the Enneagram is much easier to like get into,
right.
like transition into, rather than just being faced with like all these letters and all the letters mean different things and stuff like that. So
Right. How can only 9 types describe everyone?
To me, everyone, this is really funny because especially if you know a lot of 4s, the 4s and the 8s really are always like, you can't box me in, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to get into this because I don't want to be defined by a number.
Right.
But it's more than that. The number just kind of just tells your why you do the things that you do, not necessarily what you are as a person, but mm-hmm. why you do the things that you do. I mean, there's 7 different scientific classifications, and no one's complaining that that's too simple of a classification system. So,
wait, what do you mean?
You know, like the species and
scientific
classifications.
That's a little different, but I guess you do have a slight point there.
A slight point.
Yeah, I didn't really buy into it when I first heard it. I also just didn't understand it. Because I took the test in the CAF one day, and it took me like 45 minutes. And then people were like, the test isn't accurate. Like, you have to like discover what you are and like read all these books and like self-actualize or something. And then like you'll find it, figure out your number. You'll be enlightened with your number.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely a 1.
And I was just like, okay, whatever. But then somebody kind of got me into it, and yeah, I'm a 1.
Yeah, you are.
And it makes a lot, it helps make
sense
of things.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of funny just to make little jokes about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I feel like it's important to know what people are, and you're like, ah, okay, makes
yeah.
sense now.
A 1.
I'm a 6,
yeah.
if anyone.
1s are like little robots. They're like, for whoever doesn't know that, they're like beep beep boop. Like they have their very fixed routines and
structured lifestyle.
Very structured lifestyle and
black and white.
I kind of relate to that just a little bit. But I feel like I usually am in my growth state of being a 7. I like to think.
Well,
very fun and
I believe, yeah. I can see that for you for sure.
At least I hope I am.
I think you're a pretty healthy person.
I stress into a 4.
I could see that too.
Yeah.
That's not a bad thing.
So describe yourself, Hannah, your six self.
I mean, I grow into a nine.
Well, I mean, like, what are the sixes known for? Aren't they the masks? Don't you wear masks?
No.
I always bring this up, and you always tell me I'm wrong.
You always compare me to, like, other sixes that you've had in your life.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. It's hard to describe yourself. The sixes are usually, like, very loyal. A lot of times people think of them as being very skeptical. But, like, once you have their loyalty, like, they're extremely loyal. Very curious. Always thinking about very what-if personalities, like thinking about all the things that could happen in a situation.
Worst case scenario? Okay, yeah.
Being prepared for everything. Yeah.
My best friend in high school is a six.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. Can you change types over time?
I don't think you can change types. I think that, like, you shouldn't, like, children shouldn't try to type themselves because you're still growing into maturity, I guess, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. But I mean, you can't get rid of past experiences that have shaped you. And so I think once you have a personality type.
Unless you just have some, like, seriously life-changing experiences.
Yeah, some traumatic something. I don't know, maybe.
So don't intentionally seek those out. What do you think everyone's biggest Enneagram pet peeves are, besides just,
so
like, talking about them?
Besides
just talking about the Enneagram, what are the pet peeves that people have about it?
One of my pet peeves is when people only, like, know their type.
Yeah.
And they don't know anything else about the Enneagram. And then, but, like, they still, like, it's one thing just to know your type, but they still want to use it all the time.
Oh, yeah.
But to me, I love the Enneagram so much because I feel like it helps me understand other people better.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're literally not trying to understand other people, then why?
What's the point?
What's the point of you knowing your number to me? But. And then kind of a joking one, a Harding pet peeve of mine is that everyone thinks they're a two.
Well, every Christian woman mistypes himself as a two.
I do not think they're a two.
That just happens. I thought I was a two for a while. That's what the test told me. Yeah. But
in the Bison last semester, they did the social clubs and everyone said they were a two. Mm-hmm. And in the yearbook last year, the same thing. Like, it was like 30% of campus thinks they're a two. And I'm like, no.
So if you think you're a two,
right.
You need to reevaluate your life. And come talk to Hannah. She'll set you straight.
No.
She's like an Enneagram wizard over here. I am pretty, like, not ignorant about the Enneagram, if I can even say the word. But I'm not an expert by any means.
Yeah.
So I can't just, like, look at somebody and be like, yeah.
Another thing is when people use the Enneagram to explain away their bad behaviors.
Yes, okay.
Oh, my goodness.
That would be one of mine as well. Yeah.
And they're like, oh, my gosh, I'm sorry. I'm just being
I just can't
type.
Help it.
But
yeah.
I'm like, no, that is not how that works.
Right. How does faith and religion play a part in the Enneagram? I know that's, like, pretty wrapped up in it. Deep spiritual roots.
That's another thing that really helps me appreciate the Enneagram is because it is about, like, learning how to be compassionate towards others and their types and recognizing your faults and your shortcomings and different things like that. And so I think that, you know, faith and religion play a huge part in the Enneagram. Like, you know, if you think about the perfect man who walked on earth and you try to think about his type, he can't be typed because he has all of the types, good traits and none of the shortcomings.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, like, all the types as you grow can grow towards, you know, what he achieved. And in the same way, the healthier you are, the harder it is to type someone.
Mm.
So I think there's a lot that can be said about faith and the Enneagram.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So what do you think Dr. McLarty's type is?
I could see him being a one for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that too.
Maybe, I was going to say maybe a three, but I see the one.
Yeah.
That's my.
You missed this because
you were
MIA the other day. But
yes.
When we had Dr. Miller on the podcast, he was talking about how he thinks he's a three. And
yes.
Ellie thought that too.
I think he's changed like three times, which is really funny to me, like what he thinks he is.
Yeah, he said he's gotten a different number every time he's taking the test. But his daughter's into it now, so he retook it. And then also Ellie just told him that she thought that it was him.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it is hard to type yourself. You have to really, like, to me, the typing tests aren't always accurate.
Right.
you definitely have to research it and look into it. But then a lot of people don't want to take that time for something right. that they're not invested in. But,
right. What yeah. What's like your favorite book on the Enneagram?
My favorite book? I don't know if I have a, I mean, The Road Back to You is probably yeah? always a good one. But for sure, my favorite podcast is Sleeping at Last Enneagram Podcast.
Oh, like the music group?
Yes, the one with the songs.
Yeah.
Yes. So good.
Yeah, I've heard of that. I actually have listened to a few of their, like, mm-hmm. normal songs.
Yeah.
But I've heard of that. Kind of explain that. What is that about?
Well, the guy who is, his brand is, like, Sleeping at Last. He does a lot of different music and stuff like that. Was an incredibly talented musician. Came to learn about the Enneagram. And so he started going on this, like, journey and doing these long, multi-month projects of creating a song for each type. And so on the podcast, they play the song, and he, like, breaks it down into, like, why he made all the decisions he made for the song. And then they kind of do an overview of the types and how they interact and different things like that.
So are we going to do that next?
Are you going to sing?
Did you bring your guitar? Yeah, so if you want to hear some nice Enneagram tunes, you could hop on over to Sleeping at Last.
Yes.
He is very good.
I think that was, one, like, when I, at that point, I thought I was a six. But when I listened to his song, I was like, oh, my goodness, I'm definitely a six. They say that when you're reading a description of a type or if, you know, listening to a song, whatever one makes you kind of cringe a little bit, you relate to more.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that true, like, in other areas of life, too?
I don't know if that's scientifically proven, but.
Because I cringe a lot.
You know, we were on deadline, just passing time. We started talking about the Enneagram, and that's what someone told me. I have no idea if that's true or not, but.
Yearbook deadline?
Yes.
Oh, well, you can't trust those people. Yearbook's coming out soon. That is exciting.
I know. I'm very excited for them.
They're having their last deadline night tonight.
Yeah.
So make sure you pick up a copy of the yearbook. Shameless plug, hashtag ad, hashtag sponsored. You've already paid for it, so you need to go pick it up. Any last concluding Enneagram thoughts, Hannah?
I don't think so. Just that, you know, everyone should go read about the Enneagram.
Yeah. You had a lovely quote a few weeks ago. It was like, the Enneagram is for everyone. Or no, I can't remember what it was. Mm-hmm. It was so good, I don't even remember it. Every problem can be solved by the Enneagram. It was something cliche like that. We'll slap that on a
cliche.
T-shirt.
Great.
Anything can be solved by the Enneagram. Hannah Wise, Shockwave Podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I stand by that statement. I don't remember saying it.
But. Yeah. Anyways, if you have any Enneagram thoughts or just anything, reach out to us at HU Student Pubs on social media or shoot us an email at hushockwave@gmail.com. Give us a nice quote to end on, Hannah.
Let your Enneagram type teach you how to have compassion for others and help you better understand your why.
Let your type shine before all men. Have a good day.
Oh my gosh.